Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. I do want to remind you the program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the program on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net or become one of our ongoing supporters with a monthly contribution of $2 or more per month at patreon.greatdetectives.net. And I particularly want to thank Jim for supporting the program. And thanks so much for your support, Jim. And we're going to get into today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date, June the 25th, 1945. And the title is The Larry Brown Case.
Hi. What do you have?
2 eggs, scrambled, and coffee. Give me a couple of rolls.
Number two, Beta. Rocks on this side. What'd you think of the game last night?
Couldn't see it.
It was some game.
So what?
So nothing, I guess.
How about some service?
What do you have?
Coffee, Blake.
Run along, the doc.
Hi, Larry.
Not so loud. Remember, you don't know me.
Relax. Everything's going to be okay.
It's easy for you to say. You do what I ask you.
Think I'd be nuts enough not to? I'm your pal.
Yeah, but a bunch of guys aren't. Who just came in?
Relax, will you, Larry? It's nobody, just a guy.
Is he looking at me?
Nah.
You sure?
Sure, I'm sure. Harmless.
Yeah. Maybe the guy after me looks harmless, too. I tell you, I'm going nuts waiting.
Relax, will you? He'll never find you.
Maybe he's already found me. I don't know what he looks like.
Well, he doesn't know what you look like, so you're leaving. Why don't you make that call?
Yeah, I guess I might as well. Where's the phone?
Hey, you. Where's the telephone?
In the back, on the left.
Thanks.
Watch the door, will you?
Sure.
Hello?
I want to talk to Boston Blackie.
This is Boston Blackie.
Oh, this is Larry Brown. Remember me?
Sure, $100 worth.
You always worry quick with a joke, Blackie.
But you aren't quick with paying your debts.
Well, I got the whole $100 for you now, Blackie. In an envelope in my name at the Williams Hotel. The whole $100.
What am I supposed to do about it?
Well, pick it up anytime you want.
All right, Larry, we're square. But what's the reason for the sudden payoff?
Well, I'm leaving town, Blackie. And now that you mention it, it's the kind of payoff I like.
Now meet Richard Calmer's Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friends.
Hey, Monahan. If the commissioner calls, tell him I'm on my way to his office now.
Inspector.
Well, look who's come out in the sunlight.
Hey, I hoped you'd remember me, Inspector. You know what I mean?
Okay, Wilson, what do you want?
A little information, Inspector. Sir, in return for the information I gave you about the Johnson mob last
year. Sure, what is it? I'm in a hurry.
Well, it's kind of important, Inspector. I've been waiting out here a couple hours, you know what I mean?
Sure, I know what you mean. What do you want?
Well, where can I get in touch with Boston Blackie? Where's he live now?
What do you want him for?
Personal reasons. Nothing, you know what I mean. Nothing you'd be interested in.
Okay, it better not be. Blackie lives at 51 Sunset Parkway. The doorman will give you the apartment number. Oh,
thanks for the information, Inspector Faraday. I'll do the same for you someday, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Fine thing. I give information to the underworld. All of a sudden, I'm a stool pigeon to a stool pigeon. Who is it?
It's me, Blackie. Bloody.
By all the sudden formality. Come on in.
door was
open. Come on in, but be careful. The floors have just been waxed. No scatter rug skin.
Yeah, sure. Hey, it sure looks slick. Look, I'm sorry if it got so long, boy.
Anything wrong?
No, not exactly, boy.
Did you go to the bank for me?
Oh, sure, Blackie. I got to the bank all right, but not exactly soon enough.
And by not exactly soon enough, you mean too late?
Well, sort of.
And by sort of, you mean yes.
Shorty, can't I trust you? With as simple a thing as going to the bank for me, you left 2 hours ago.
I went straight to the bank, boss.
How straight?
Well, straight down Sunset Parkway to River Boulevard, and what do I bump into but Pete Matthews?
So you went somewhere with Matthews.
Yeah, but that was all right, boss, because Pete said if I walk over the east side with him, he'd get his brother Barney to drive me there on his motorcycle. And I figured riding on Barney's cycle was faster than walking.
Then you didn't go straight to the bank?
Well, sure I did, boss. Straight to the east side and then straight to the bank on Barney's motorcycle. All the time, it was straight to the bank. Only, something happened when Barney and me was riding the motorcycle.
Don't tell me. I know. You took a shortcut.
Gee, how'd you know, boss?
Never mind. Because you didn't get to the bank in time, I have a date with Mary in 1 hour, and all I have in my pocket is 98 cents and a paper clip.
Oh, boss, there's that 100 Larry Brown left for you in the envelope at the Williams Hotel.
No, that's way uptown. It'll take an hour to get there, and Mary's in no mood to wait.
Oh, boss, I sure am sorry, but if Bonnie and me hadn't bumped into Joey Hatch...
Never mind. I'll cash a check at Martin's tonight, which is probably what I should have done.
Oh, that's Latchy Thomas. On the way to the bank, I bumped into him, too, and told him to meet me.
Fine. Let him in.
Oh, thanks, boss. Come on in, let's...
I'm looking for Boston Blackie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, come on in. Hey, boss, it ain't Blackie.
Who is it, Johnny?
Some guy to see you.
Yeah, it's me, Blackie. Look, wow! More slick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little over ambitious waxing. Careful, especially on the scatter rug.
Yeah.
Well, what is it this time, Wilson?
You gotta do me a favor, Blackie.
How much favor?
Well, I ain't the one to ask this kind of thing from anybody, Blackie, but then I'm sort up against it, you know what I mean?
All I have in my pocket is 98 cents. I'll split it with you.
Okay. Thanks, Blackie, but that ain't enough, you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, Wilson. I just don't happen to have... Say, I can let you have $100 if you'll go to the trouble to get it.
No trouble at all, Blackie.
All right. Go to the Williams Hotel uptown. Ask for the desk, for an envelope in Larry Brown's name. Brown left it for me. There's $100 in it.
I go to the Williams Hotel uptown, huh? They ask for an envelope for Larry Brown, huh? And I'll have $100, huh?
Yeah, huh?
Gee, I'll be there right up there. And thanks, Blackie. Thanks a million, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Wilson. You mean thanks $100.
Okay, you.
Duck,
keep
huh?
walking. Ain't no water pistol in your back.
Hey, you got the wrong guy, bud. The wrong guy, you know what I mean? I ain't done nothing.
Walk.
Sure. Look, I didn't rat in the Johnson mob on purpose. I had it.
Get in the car here.
It was what I had to do about the Johnson mob. I was framed in the gun of the cops, you know what I mean?
Get in the car.
Now, look, put that gun away. Let's talk this over first, you know what I mean?
Well, get in.
Don't push. All right. But look, you got me all wrong, Mr. Lashley.
Shut up. Step moving to the shack on the riverfront, Joe.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
And don't go through any red lights.
Yeah, but hey,
we don't want this guy picked up by the cops too soon.
Keep that air pump going. That diver down there's no salmon.
What makes you think we'll find the body in this section of the river, Captain?
Inspector Faraday, your witness said they saw the body dumped in off 86th Street. So we start looking from there.
Oh, in case the body was planted in concrete, huh?
Right. Chances are the current wouldn't affect it.
Hey, that light's flashing on and off. What
well,
does that mean?
My diver's found something. Give me the phone, Tom.
It's found something, huh?
All right, down there. Go ahead.
Found the body, Captain.
Good work, Jake. You bring it up yourself?
No, the feet are in a block of cement. Send down the gravel.
Coming right down, Jake. Stand by.
Okay.
We found your body for you, Inspector Faraday.
Good. How long before you get it up?
In a minute. Okay, men. Over the side with the grapple. Let it go. Stand by, Inspector Faraday. We'll have your body for you in no time.
Stop calling it my body, will you?
Sorry. Jake, you hear me?
Go ahead.
The grapple's on its way down.
Yeah, I see it. Lower it another fathom.
Lower one fathom.
Hold it.
Take it. How's it now, Jake?
Bring it to starboard, 8 feet.
8 feet to starboard.
Hold it.
Check it. Got it, Jake?
Okay, Captain. Sit down, haul her up.
Draw in, boys, draw in.
Hey, fish me top right out of this porthole, will you, Captain? I ain't nobody.
Okay.
Stand by.
Jack. Here comes your body, Inspector Faraday.
Will you stop calling it my body?
It isn't mine. Bring it over the deck, boys. Come on, hoist it clear of the gunnels. Bring it over the deck. Lower it to the deck. Come on, lower it.
Well, that witness knew what he was talking about. It's the body of a man, all right.
A little lower. A little lower. Okay, let her rest. Look for identification, Inspector.
Yeah, I might as well start now.
Look at that block of cement he's wearing for shoes.
Yeah, it's murder.
Inspector, you look like you know him.
Know him? Sure I know him. That's Pete Wilson, a stool pigeon. And this morning he asked me for the address of Boston Blackie.
Think Boston Blackie killed him?
How do I know? All I know is as soon as he found out where Blackie lived, he died.
Yeah?
That is Shorty.
Yes, Shorty.
Did Blackie Thomas get there yet?
No, he hasn't.
Well, look, boss, when he gets there, tell him to come over to Skate Latimer's place, will you?
But when you left here, I thought you were going to Barney's.
No, I was, boss, but on the way, I met Skinny Atkins. Me and him decided to go to Barney's by way of Joe's.
Then why aren't you at Joe's?
Well, on the way to Joe's, we stopped at Pete. Will you tell Latchin?
I'll tell him.
All right, thanks, boss. Bye.
Bye, Shorty. Come in.
Hello, Blackie.
Inspector Faraday, what an unpleasant surprise. Too bad you can't stay.
Yeah? Don't try to slam that door. Don't move another step, Blackie. I say so.
Your gun is showing.
Blackie, I said don't move.
All right, Inspector. What have I done this time? Hit a home run through a grocery store window?
It's murder, Blackie.
You are so right, Inspector.
It's murder. I know the time, the place, the motive, everything.
Don't tell me you know the victim.
Pete Wilson. He came up here to see you this morning. I know that because I gave him your address.
Oh, thanks so much, Inspector. That little controversy, rather that little cursory courtesy of yours, cost me $100.
And it cost Pete Wilson his life. He came up here to make a deal with you. You went in with him, then killed him for his share of the take.
The take yesterday was $100. My $100.
The take right now is you, down to headquarters. And I'm the guy who can do it.
Did it ever occur to you that...
I said, come on. And no tricks.
You did say, come on. You didn't.
Trick. Well, I'm saying it now. No tricks. Come on.
Just a minute, Inspector.
You're coming right now.
As soon as I tie my shoe, do you mind?
Leave it untied. Maybe you'll slip and break your neck.
Wouldn't give you that pay to tie my shoelace?
All right, try it.
Thanks. Hey, what's this on the rug?
Never mind what's on the rug.
I do mind. You're on the rug. So maybe if I...
Blackie, don't!
When you drop everything, Faraday, even your gun.
Help me, Blackie.
So help yourself, Inspector. Oh, and Faraday, I mustn't forget my manners. Please don't get up. I was just leaving anyhow. Now, back to Boston Blackie. Our story began when Larry Brown telephoned Blackie to inform him that the $100 Brown owed Blackie was waiting for Blackie in an envelope in the Williams Hotel in Larry Brown's name. When Pete Wilson, underworld character, came to Blackie to borrow money, Blackie sent him to the Williams Hotel to pick up the envelope. Wilson is not seen again until he's fished out of the river, murdered. Inspector Faraday of the police is convinced Blackie killed Wilson because earlier that day he himself had given Wilson Blackie's address. When Faraday attempts to arrest Blackie, Blackie, as usual, escapes. To continue our story, we return to the waterfront restaurant as Sam, Larry Brown's one-time gangster, walks in and takes a seat at the counter.
Afternoon.
Hey, what do you have? Two eggs, scrambled, coffee, and give me a couple of rolls.
Number two, beat up, rocks on the side.
What do you think of the game this afternoon?
Didn't see it.
Well, that was some game.
So what?
Well, nothing, I guess.
How about some service?
What do you have?
Coffee, Black.
Throw one in the dark.
Hi, Larry. Don't let this counterman see you talking to me.
Relax.
Not off the spot yet.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know.
You are mixed up.
Wouldn't you be mixed up, too? Every time you took a step, it might be your last one.
Turning yellow?
One more crack like that, Sam, and
I'm sorry, Larry. I didn't mean anything.
You better not.
Where have you been?
Out, driving around.
Did you see you drive up?
I parked up the street a little.
You went by the Williams Hotel?
Yeah.
Go in.
You think I'm crazy?
Relax. Your plan works out, you don't have nothing to worry about. Where'd you take it?
It's a delight to leave in your company, Larry.
What?
What's the matter? Nervous?
No. No, nothing's the matter, Blackie. Well, how are you?
I don't know.
What are you doing down here?
I'm just looking. Oh, Shorty.
Yeah, boy.
Watch down the street as well as up. I saw one of Faraday's cars in the neighborhood.
Yeah, but I couldn't spot it.
Just the same, be on the lookout.
Okay.
You in trouble with the cops, Blackie?
No more than usual.
The hideout you want, I haven't...
I just want some information.
I don't know anything.
Do you know Pete Wilson?
Wilson? Pete Wilson? No.
Do you know he's been murdered?
No. I've been making it my business not to know much of anything these days.
Reason?
Knowing things is no joke.
Look, Larry, I'm not trying to involve you in anything.
Yeah?
Why should I?
You mean everything between us is okay?
In a manner of speaking.
You got that envelope I left for you and everything?
No, Larry, I didn't. But now that you mention it, Pete Wilson got it.
Oh, Wilson got the letter.
And he got everything, too.
You sure this guy Wilson picked up that envelope?
According to the clerk at the hotel, as far as I can find out, that's the last time he was seen alive.
You making that crack for a reason?
No, except that, well, I thought maybe you could tell me whether or not there's a possible connection between that envelope and Wilson's death.
How should I know? I'll see you around, Blackie.
Wait a minute, I'm not through.
Oh, but I am. I got an appointment.
Well, look, where can I get in touch with you?
Who knows? I don't. I'll be moving around here and there. Come on.
Come on, Shorty. You might as well go, too.
Okay, this is Jason.
Come on.
Blackie, you know, we ain't no better off than we was before we found this guy.
Maybe, Shorty. It's possible that Brown engineered Wilson's killing.
You think so, boss?
Not as Wilson, so I haven't any other ideas. Come on, there's Brown getting into his car up the street. Let's get mine and follow him.
Sure, sure, boss.
It's only a long shot, but I have an idea. But...
Hey!
Look, Shorty! Brown's car, it's a wreck!
Wreck? Looks like it's been bombed!
It was, Shorty, when Brown stepped on the starter. Come on, let's have a look.
Yeah. What? There ain't much left of anything.
Nobody will ever be able to prove that a guy by the name of Larry Brown was in this car.
Gosh, no.
I think I know why this happened, too. Gives me an idea. Shorty, give me your wallet.
Oh, sure, sure, boss, here.
Okay.
Hey, boss, what's the idea of throwing my wallet in the wreck?
I'll tell you later. Let's go.
Gosh, boss, when Faraday gets here and finds my wallet, he'll think I was knocked off in the blowout.
Yeah, Shorty, I imagine Inspector Faraday will think you've gone all to pieces. Come on, we're going to your place.
Why are we using my place as a hideout? Inspector figures I'm dead or he'll come running down here for sure.
That's what I want him to do, Johnny.
Boss, either you're too smart or I'm too dumb for this kind of thing. And I don't know which.
Look, Johnny, I think I know why Larry Brown was killed. It was no accident.
You mean that explosion was supposed to bomb him?
Mm-hmm. And I want his killer to think he escaped. That's why I threw your wallet into Brown's car. We will identify the body. He's yours.
Please. Sure glad my poor old mother can't read. She'd feel awful bad about me getting blown up.
Don't worry, Shorty. If she even hears about it, we'll go down and do your things up right away. All I want is for Faraday to release a story to the newspapers that you and not Brown was killed in that explosion.
Look, I don't mind playing dead for us as long as it ain't for keeps, but why don't you want nobody to know Brown got it?
Very simple, Shorty. When...
Anybody in there?
Sure, anybody out there?
Inspector Faraday of the police. Who's in there?
Let's play this guessing game a little longer, Faraday. It's fun.
Mikey, it's you. Let me in or I'll break down the door.
Don't go to the trouble of bruising your baby skin, sweetheart. I'll let you in.
Oh, sure, boy.
Get back in there, Blackie.
Faraday, you're a good bloodhound.
You don't get away from me for long, do you?
Oh, I wasn't talking about your ability to find me, Faraday. I was looking for ears. Hello, my man. All right, don't talk. You do enough talking for the whole force, don't you, Faraday?
Okay, you've been funny long enough. Now you're coming quietly, or am I... Shorty, I thought you were dead.
Hi, Inspector Faraday. Nice afternoon, huh?
What are you doing here?
I got rights here. This is my job.
But you were supposed to be dead. Killed in that automobile explosion uptown.
That wasn't Shorty's body, Inspector.
No. Only my wallet. I hope you brung it.
Well, if that wasn't your body in that car, what was your wallet doing there?
I put it there, Inspector.
You did, Blackie. Why?
I didn't want you or anybody else to know the name of the real victim until I talked to you.
If you were at the scene of the explosion, you probably had something to do with it. Who'd you kill this time?
The man's name was Larry Brown. Oh, I didn't kill him.
If you didn't kill him, how do you know his name?
I know the name of lots of dead people.
Look, I don't want any of your wisecracks. I just want you.
Faraday, this is so sudden, really. And also boring. Put that gun away, will you?
After I put you away.
You're way ahead of yourself. How can you arrest me for the murder of Larry Brown when you haven't even found out who killed Pete Wilson? Wilson was killed because somebody thought he was Larry Brown.
So what?
Larry Brown was being shadowed by an out-of-town trigger man hired to kill him. Unfortunately, the trigger man didn't know what Brown looked like. Brown knew that. He was a very clever scheme to duck his assassin.
Well, this better be good now, in short.
It is. Brown knew his only hope of getting away from the killer for good was to have the killer shoot someone else. Brown owed me money. He put it in an envelope in his name at his hotel. He phoned me to come to the hotel and ask for it.
Was that so? Why aren't you dead?
Because I sent Pete Wilson for that envelope. He went into the hotel, asked for an envelope for Larry Brown. The killer picked him up, took him for a little joyride, and you know what.
Okay. But then why was Brown killed?
The killer realized his mistake, or the man who hired him noticed it. So as not to make a mistake again, they wired Brown's car for sound.
Well, that's the best one you've ever told, Blackie. But it doesn't get me my killer.
Do me a favor, Faraday.
I wouldn't do anything for you.
Then do it for yourself. Did you release a story to the newspaper that Shorty was killed in the explosion?
Yeah, but I can stop it.
No, don't stop it. Let it go through. Add to it a story that Larry Brown was the intended victim, but escaped and has returned to his room at the Williams Hotel.
Are you crazy?
I'm crazy enough to get out from under a murder rap. Release that story to the newspaper. Then give me 6 hours.
I wouldn't give you 6 seconds if I had any sense.
Oh, don't feel so badly about it, Faraday. We can't all be smart.
I ought to lock you up and never listen to you again. Go ahead, get out of here.
Thanks, Faraday. Come on, Shorty.
Sure, boss.
Remember now, Faraday, for 6 hours, leave me alone.
Get that, Monahan. I'm supposed to leave him alone 6 hours. I'm not letting him out of my sight 6 seconds. Come on.
This is room 511.
Thanks.
You were expecting Augustine?
Well, later. Bring it up.
Anything else?
No, that'll be all.
You should promise.
Thank you. Come in.
Hi, Blackie.
Well, what took you so long this time, Shorty?
Well, look, boss, you gave me a tough job. I've been all over town.
Did you do what I asked?
You did, boss. My pals call every mug and trigger man. Now, everyone in town thinks that Larry Brown got out of that explosion okay. And he's right here in room 511 of the Williams Hotel alone.
Good work, Shorty. Now, scram. I've got to wait for a guy who's coming up here to kill me. Maybe I'd better turn on the light.
Drop it, boss. I'll get him.
No, you don't. Don't bother to pick up your gun, pal. I think Inspector Faraday would like to do that himself. Hey, Faraday, come on in. You've been in the next room for hours. I know it.
Okay, Blackie. So I didn't leave you alone. So you knew it. If you hadn't outshot this guy, maybe you'd have been glad.
I'm glad anyhow, Faraday. You heard this guy here say he wasn't going to make a mistake and kill the wrong guy again.
I heard everything. I've been in the next room for hours.
Well, incidentally, on your way down to headquarters, we practically had a sleep together, Faraday. Suppose you stop and pay the bill. Hello?
Blackie, this is Shorty.
Say, Shorty, where are you? Lackey has been here twice looking for you.
Oh, gosh, boss. Did you tell him I was at Skeet's?
No, I didn't. You said you were going straight to Skeet's, so I thought I'd play it safe and send him to Joe's.
Oh, I see.
Where are you?
Well, boss, let me tell you. I was going straight to Skeet's when a funny thing happened.
You went to Harry's?
No, boss. I went straight to Skeet's. Here I am. And am I surprised?
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, I did see one problem in Blackie's plan, in that the person he had putting the word out was Shorty. The problem is that Faraday has put out that Shorty was killed by mistake in the car accident. So he may want to consider getting multiple sidekicks, or maybe seeing if he could... for putting things out on the street if he's going to use people as decoys. Anyway, we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we have a letter from Jim, who says, I've been enjoying your podcast for a number of years now. I downloaded them through iTunes onto my iPod. Some of my favorites are Boston Blackie, The Avenger, Johnny Dollar, and Dragnet. Recently, I heard an episode of Mr. Moto and wondered if you will be playing those in the future. How long did Mr. Moto broadcast on air? Another I liked was Jack Webb as Johnny Madero. Pier 23, how many of those are there? I can only find two everywhere I look. Will you be playing more of those? Mr. Moto, we've actually already played. And you can find that at archives.greatdetectives.net. And it was one of many shows in the 1950s, and it broadcast for about 6 months, like many of them. As for Johnny Madero, yeah, only two episodes are in circulation. It is a very rare series. He said, I heard recently that Apple is toying with the idea of dropping iTunes. If this is correct, how will this affect your podcast? It should not actually, because I've looked into the same rumors when I got this email, and there may be other listeners who get concerned about that. And again, this is entirely a rumor of what Apple might do, not certainly a policy set in stone. But as the rumor is out there, it should not affect how people download the show at all. The rumor is that Apple is thinking of getting rid of iTunes music downloads, where people purchase music in order to encourage people to use their Apple Music streaming service. Again, pure rumor. Nothing has been officially announced at this point by Apple. It would have nothing to do with podcast or podcasting capability, at least as the rumor stands today. And the iTunes store is a lot bigger than music downloads. So if the rumor is what it is today, you should not have, if I become aware of any changes that will affect people on iTunes, I'll certainly advise that on the show. But as the rumors stand now, nothing to worry about. He does ask whether he can download television episodes like Michael Shane for your website so I can play them later on my iPod. Right now, you only drop TV shows once a month. Actually, twice a month. Otherwise, I have to watch them online at my computer. Yes, all the TV episodes have a download link. In addition, there is a video theater. If you put Great Detectives of Old Time Radio into the search button, search in the iTunes store, it will come up with several feeds, including old feeds of shows we've done previously. And one of the options will be video theater, so you can actually download all of the video theater programs we've done from the iTunes store. All right, that'll do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Next Thursday, we'll be back with another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meanwhile, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.